time of trouble, number one. We're going to study this time of unparalleled trouble for the next 2 weeks. During this part, this first part, we will study man's relationship to it, and during the second part, we'll emphasize a little more what God does for his people. The time of trouble is unknown in all its terror. The time of trouble is inescapable. When it starts is uncertain. What man must do as he looks to it is to maintain constant preparedness. Constant preparedness. Now let's look into what the Bible tells us about this time of trouble. Part number one, definition. Daniel 12:1 tells us that at that time, Michael shall stand up. Michael is Christ. He is the judge. When he stands up, because he was sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high as a judge, the judgment is finished. And Michael is the great prince. A prince is a king's son, which stands, he is on behalf of, the children of God. So he finishes his work. He has declared, he that is righteous shall be righteous still, and he which is holy still, and he stands up. At that time, whenever that occurs, there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And into that picture of a concluded judgment, of an intercessor who has done his work, of an unparalleled time of trouble, the prophet is informed, "Thy people shall be delivered, everyone who is written in the book of life." Written in the book. So the deliverance of God's people is just as certain as the end of the judgment. It's just as certain as the time of unparalleled trouble. Provided, today, our names are inscribed in the book of life, we have nothing to fear for that day. God's people have been secured by the intercession of Jesus Christ. The wicked have no grace. They have no more mediation of the Spirit. They have no more ministry of angels. They have yielded themselves to God, to Satan. They are under the perfect control, the absolute control of the devil. But God's people, filled with the Holy Spirit, endued with grace, accepted by Jesus Christ as righteous and holy, now can stand unscathed and unafraid without an intercessor. Part number two, the time. When does this time of trouble begin? The fiat of Jesus Christ in Revelation 22:11 is the starting point. He that is unjust, remain still. He which is filthy, still is filthy. He that is righteous, he that is holy, remain in that state. So all men everywhere have come to the point of no return. They have decided for good or ill which side they are going to be. They have yielded themselves once for all. They have put their wills once for all on one side or the other. On the side of Satan, or on the side of the Savior. Now at that time, he cannot mediate anymore. Those who have accepted him have accepted him, and those who have rejected him have rejected him. He has finished his work as intercessor. He has completed his work as judge. The characters of all men have been fixed. They are the products of their own wills and their own decision. And those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ now have the mind of Christ. They are on his side. Now it is this point that is the beginning of the time of the end. Now, no one knows when this point is reached. This point comes as a thief in the night. Nobody can tell. When Jesus Christ comes a second time, it's not as a thief in the night. It's with a great noise. It's seen by all. Every eye shall see him. It's come with a great sound, lightning. But when probation closes, that point comes as a silent, creeping thief in the night, and destiny is sealed forever. Part number 3, Jacob's trouble. Jacob's experience during his night of wrestling represents the trial through which God's people will pass just before Christ's second coming. Now, what triggers Jacob's trouble? Ellen White says, "A decree went forth to slay the saints. This caused them to cry day and night for deliverance. This was the time of Jacob's trouble." In Jacob of old, by the brook Jabbok, the realization that his brother was coming with an army to exterminate him and his family filled him with terror. And that night, alone, grappling with one whom he thought was an assailant in the darkness, he went through his night of trouble. In the last days, there will be a period in which God's people will go through this time of Jacob's trouble. They will not realize that their probation has closed. They will not realize that their characters have been accepted in the Beloved, that the work of intercession, mediation, is over. They will wonder how they will stand should the death decree be carried out and they slain. This was the time of Jacob's trouble. All the saints cried out with anguish of spirit and were delivered by the voice of God. The function of Jacob's trouble is to clarify thinking and relationships here on earth. The last ties of this planet, the last ties of the world, the last lingering desire to still live here will be snuffed out in that night of Jacob's trouble. It was only of short duration, and I believe Jacob's trouble will only be of short duration. Part number 4. This Jacob's trouble for God's people in the last days will be mental and also physical, threatening and anguish. Alas, for the day is great, none like it, unparalleled. It's even a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The same prediction that tells us about the unparalleled trouble also promises us salvation, vindication, escape from it. The thought that Esau was coming to destroy him, the physical presence over the hill of murderous soldiers produced terror in the heart of Jacob. And so the realization that the decree has been passed, that God's people are to be slain at a certain time, but the realization also that before that time, certain men are coming stealthily to slay the Sabbath keepers and to avail themselves of all their booty and resources, will fill God's people with terror. Some in jails, some in mountain fastnesses, some in desert places, far from the haunts of men, will await that coming slaughter with terror. The whole world is ranged against them. How will they stand? You ever wondered how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego felt as they were flying through the air, flung by the strong bodyguard of Nebuchadnezzar into those raging flames? They were men too. Have you ever wondered how Elijah felt when the whole kingdom was set against him by Jezebel? So God's people will feel physically as they face this time of Jacob's trouble. But there will also be mental anguish. If I'm slain tonight or tomorrow, will I be accepted in the Beloved? Are all my sins forgiven? Is my life hid with God in Christ? It is this combination of factors that produces the time of trouble. But remember the assurance, their faith does not fail because their prayers are not immediately answered. They have learned through experience that God doesn't answer prayers immediately the way we expect. Sometimes He does. Sometimes He keeps us waiting. Sometimes He gives us another answer. So we learn through life to risk the keeping of our souls, unafraid, in the hands of our loving Savior. Though suffering the keenest anxiety, terror, and distress, they do not cease their intercession. They lay hold on the strength of God as Jacob laid hold on the angel. Part number 5, the purpose of this time of trouble. To sever the last ties that bind us to this earth. It is a refiner's fire, burn up the dross. It is like a launderer's soap, take out of the last defilement. We are to have gold and silver pure. Read Prophets and Kings, page 410, the first few lines. The gold is faith, the silver is obedience. These times of trouble are to make perfect our exercise of our faith and our obedience through grace. Part number 6. Our only safety during the trouble. To the Laodiceans, the merchantman says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, faith that works by love and purifies the soul, and fine white raiment, the righteousness of Christ, the free robe of His character which is given to us. The ISAV, the ministry of the Holy Spirit that gives to us a discernment of right and wrong. If we do this, the future is assured. So our only safety in the time of trouble is to walk by faith, clad in the robe of Christ's righteousness, infused by the Holy Spirit, looking to Him momentarily for guidance and support and sustenance. This season of distress will call for a faith that will not falter. We must have this gold, this complete trust. We must be clad in the character of Jesus Christ. We must have this robe. The latter rain, the ISAV, the gift of the Spirit must be within our personalities. So as we prepare for the time of trouble, our part is to accept the divine provision without question and completely.